Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
That's what we specialize in right here, Bible-based content. And I think this next installment, this next conversation we're about to get into is testament of that, that we are focusing on scriptural material, going deeper and deeper on a daily basis. We're going to be discussing today the third installment in our conversation with the pastor, Amias Mvunelo, looking at Emmanuel in flesh. This is the Christmas Unusual special, and we're looking at Emmanuel in flesh. That's the Christmas and the cross story, and we're going to be discussing that in a few. And we are inviting you, my friends, to talk to us, share your thoughts, your comments, as we look at this idea, how Emmanuel gets in flesh. And joining us and leading us out is Umfundiswethu Pastor Amias Mvunelo Mruti. Good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome.
Afternoon, Derek. It's good to have this opportunity to talk to you and your listeners. Merry Christmas to everyone. May the festive season be a restful and festive one.
Amen. Indeed. We need it to be, especially that first one, that is needed. I think this year has just been long, Mfundis.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's been a long one.
We needed this break.
So true. Pastor, thank you once again for joining us as we go into day number three of our discussions here. We are talking Jesus in flesh, and this is the Christmas and cross story. Introduce the subject for our listeners, please.
Just to help those that may be joining in for the first time, the first day we spoke about Emmanuel, that it was not an afterthought, it was not a postscript, that it is something that has already been there at pre-creation point for God, but even established and demonstrated in the creation story when he even established the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath he becomes Emmanuel with us, he comes to live with us, he comes to tabernacle with us. And so we transition now to the popular one, the part that is popular. Remember, our task as disciples of Christ, as Adventists, as followers of Christ, it is to track and trace the movements of God. We have tracked them from pre-creation, from everlasting to everlasting. That's what we are doing in this series, really, or in this production that we are busy with. So we are today talking about the aspect of the Christian, or maybe the what has been popularized in the Christmas story, the birth of Christ. But it is not just the birth of Christ, but it is also the life of Christ as a whole, the entire sacrifice of Christ. And so it becomes important for us to understand the background in order to understand where we are going.
And I think that's a powerful point to bring in, Moruti. As we do that, you look at Christ coming, right? Christ coming, his incarnation story. And I love how you always take us way back pre-creation to say that's where you actually find this conception. But talk to us about the actual incarnation story, his becoming flesh. I mean, the scripture speaks about how this word became flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Son of God. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it is one story that reveals. I always think of it as this is where God's heart is on display now, you know, where it's put on sleeves in a positive way, where the incarnation story, what happened is, And it's important for us, again, to always understand the background, the story behind the story.
Okay.
The enemy, okay, before the, even let's start maybe at pre-creation. The story at pre-creation was that God wanted to have Emmanuel, but he had an opponent that rose from within his ranks that wanted to undermine and rebel against this Emmanuel plan he had.
Okay.
And so Satan, that we know, shows himself at the Garden of Eden opposing this God, this everlasting plan of God, as Emmanuel. See, so he was chased out of heaven, and now he's opposing it in the Garden of Eden. So remember the story about Emmanuel is about love. So he comes and he said, has God spoken to you? Has he told you that you must not eat of the tree? So it's the whole undermining of what God is trying to do. And the point I want to really bring here is, at the end of that whole drama, at the end of that disruption, God introduces in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, at the last part, he introduces something unusual. So instead of saying, all right, you've messed up the plan, you've broken the plan, God pulls out his fail-safe plan. Mm. He pulls out his contingency plan, because he had determined this thing has to happen. This Emmanuel has to happen, come what may. And he had set up the Sabbath to be a reminder of this and all of that. So when Satan disrupts the plan, instead of saying, all right, let's wipe all humanity and start all over from the beginning, God says, no, 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 we've got a plan.
Okay.
We've got a plan. And the plan, this is the beauty of it, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
The plan is itself Emmanuel. In other words, God is saying, the same Jesus Christ who was going to reconcile the world or bring the world into unity is the one that is now going to redeem humanity from where they're from, pick them up, put them on the same place trajectory that I had intended for them. So he does not, his contingency plan is not something new.
Okay.
It is the same Jesus Christ. And this is the frustration that Satan had in heaven. How come everything is centered around this Jesus, this Jesus, everything Jesus, this Jesus, that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Lady says, Jesus, this Jesus, that. And then the Bible tells us there is no other plan of salvation. There is no other name by which we will be saved except the name of Jesus. This is Acts 4:12 now. There is no name that has been set up. There is no alternative. God has made sure that his original Emmanuel plan will be realized with his corrective Emmanuel plan. His original plan was Jesus would come and unify humanity with God. His corrective is he's going to take the same Jesus to make the same plan, to realize the same plan, but with correctiveness. In other words, the redemption plan now, the plan of redemption, is also not an afterthought. Ellen G. White makes this point very clearly. As much as we made the point and said that Jesus, or Emmanuel, sorry, was not an afterthought, it is not something that came after. Ellen G. White makes the point that the plan of redemption was not an afterthought. In other words, we are going to go to Queenstown. We are going to drive to Cairo. We are going to drive to wherever. And we have a contingency plan that says, in the event that our tires get punctured, we've got a tire that's called Jesus Christ to fix it so that we reach the very same destination. Are you still there, Derek?
100% Mfundiswam, I'm here.
All right. So the whole contingency plan, the spare wheel, if you please, is not going to introduce another foreign object into our traveling. It's going to be the same Jesus. It's going to make sure that the meal that was planned, if you were planning a meal and then it got bent and you are going to say, okay, what is our next plan? Our plan is going to be the same ingredients that were planned. We are not going to change ingredients. but we are going to make the ingredients fit the situation now. I'm hoping I'm making it clear to you and your listeners. So Jesus Christ is an integral part, but he is an indispensable part of this whole plan. And so the incarnation then is Jesus Christ now doing this Emmanuel. Now, incarnation is important for us to appreciate, or the enfleshment of Christ. The enfleshment of Christ is not replacing humanity, but partnering with humanity to resolve a human problem. I don't know if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In other words, God in incarnation, in the enfleshment, says, I'm not going to discard these people. And much worse, and for those of us who believe that women are inferior, for women are not important, God does something radical. In Genesis chapter 3, 15, and in Galatians 4, verse 4, he takes, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that a woman would be used and unilaterally to correct the problem that a woman has caused.
Okay, okay.
Galatians 4 verse 4 tells us that if he was to be he was born of a woman. Now, it's a woman that has messed up, but it is a woman that is used unilaterally, single-handedly to correct the problem. Are you following that? So the incarnation happens with where we lost it. This is the power of it. This is where I get excited. This is the power of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where we lost it, we are picked up exactly from the same place.
Wow.
We lost through a woman, and we are restored through a woman. And the Spirit is the one that gives a power. Now, there's no man there, Derek, really. There's no man involved. There's no male species involved.
Okay.
In the enfleshment, especially because it was women that lost it, and we've held it against them. But God is saying, the very ones who have messed up, I'm going to use them to be the very ones who pick up humanity.
Hmm.
And so this enfleshment is corrective. It's restorative in every respect. Women have been embarrassed, have been shamed, have been degraded, but women are the ones that are going to be used by God to pick up humanity, to pick up where things went wrong. And so the influence in that way, it's a miracle. It's unheard of, it's unrepeated that a woman would give birth to a male without a male involvement. It has never been it has never happened.
Yeah.
It will never happen that a virgin, as Isaiah had predicted, Isaiah 7, 14, and Luke tells us, narrates the story, a virgin conceives a man, or he conceives God, as it were. So God is born out of humanity. This is, again, the miracle, the power, the God with us, the Emmanuel. So the Christmas story, insofar as it tells us that story and it keeps that story alive, is very important, because it tells everybody, listen, this is something that is unheard of, unprecedented. It is something wonderful that has happened, where God has enfleshed himself in human body and got born through Jesus. I mean, through
Mary.
Through Mary. Now, in other words, sorry, just to just finish that thought. Eve failed, but Mary is a form of Eve restoring women. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that Mary concept, Pastor, to say, is that why then we would have this veneration of Mary, because she has done this great thing, like you're saying, single-handedly? Is this where this concept is, and is that then maybe even justified?
There is no justification for it. although many people are doing it, but the veneration of Mary as such is not necessarily, we don't see that in scripture, we don't have evidence for it. But what I was trying to point out was that the restoration of womanhood, not necessarily Mary, the restoration of womanhood that has been degraded through that incident where a woman fell into the temptation of sin. But here God is restoring womanhood as a whole, starting from Genesis, saying, her seed, have you heard of a situation where a woman's seed without a man is the one that restores, that crushes the snake, the head of the snake, Satan, we believe. So the veneration of Mary is not necessary, but the restoration of womanhood is a corrective to the gender issues we have struggled over the years.
I think, Mfundisi, it is based a mistaken notion, understanding of this point that you just alluded to, and then you passed over it, and I want to just rehash it to say this is what God is doing through Mary. And sometimes we think somehow Mary possessed something. I mean, they call her the Immaculate, right? As though she was something out of this world in and of herself. No. What she was based on what God made her. And so she possesses nothing in and of us. In fact, it could have been anyone else that God decided to choose. But Jesus cannot be anyone else, you know. And I think that's where the key is, what God's story is about in creating or in bringing about this Emmanuel moment. Pastor, our time has run out. I've got 2 minutes to go.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you've brought a very important point, but it's at the end. Maybe we can pick up on it. But
okay,
the line where you say, Mary is not necessarily immaculate. She's not clean. She's not imperfect. She's human like us. But God does something wonderful, and that is, He enters the human species that is in its fallen state and picks them up from there. So it's an important theological concept, this point you are raising, but we can maybe pick it up on another time.
All righty. For this, I've got about 1 minute to go. I'm going to steal from the next program, maybe 3 minutes. I want you to go over, I know it's going to be a very rushed job, quick job. I want you to go over the cross concept and how this is the culmination of the enfleshment, right? That it would be pointless for him to come if he does not go to this moment. I remember one preacher saying Christ was supposed to come the first time. I mean, the second time. That's the coming that he's supposed to do, the second coming. But if he came the second time alone and never came the first time, then it would be pointless because no one would be saved. He'd be fetching nobody. No one can reach that redemption. But he then says, let me come then this first time to save mankind. Such that when I come the second time to restore things, they are people to be found to be redeemed. Talk to us about how this is the culmination of the enfleshment, this cross story.
Now, again, you go back to Genesis. It's an important point you are raising. You go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the last part. He will strike your head and, and you will strike your heel. So what was happening is when we took on sin, when we accepted sin, we were subjected immediately from that point to Satan. We were useless. We were utterly useless.
Yeah.
We were unable to fight for ourselves. So the coming of Christ was coming to crush the power of sin. It was coming to crush the power of sin over humanity. And so the crushing of it was the fulfillment of that. And in fact, when we do the Passover festival, we are doing Emmanuel Fest now. When we do the Passover Fest, we speak about this. When Jesus Christ proclaims, it is finished.
Yes, sir.
He is proclaiming that that whole thing is done. That whole transaction is done. His dying Now, for Satan, it looked like he had bitten his heel. He had crushed Satan. Christ.
Yes.
And he had reasons to celebrate. But he did not realize his crushing was actually his own demise. It was his own crushing.
Yeah, his undoing.
his undoing. He was dead by the dying of Christ, and he could no longer have power over humanity. And so the second coming, as you correctly say, was not going to be possible if it were not for the first coming. So what God has done is he has done Emmanuel in installments over the years, and the one of the installments is the cross. But there's still another Emmanuel to come. The cross Emmanuel was important because it was victory over sin. It was the reason. That's why you see John celebrating the lamb that was slain. There's celebration in heaven in Revelation because the lamb that was slain has conquered sin and death, because that was a pair that was attached together. And so you have his death crushing the power of sin and crushing the power of death on us.
Amen. Ah, oh, what a beautiful, beautiful moment. Mfundisi, in 30 seconds, your closing remarks for today's lesson.
It's important for us to appreciate the sacrifice of Christ, not just in his death, even in his coming. As we said the other day, I think you'll remember, we highlighted the fact that other people would not have known about Christ, and even other religions do not know about Christ except through the story of Christmas. And for me, this is a story that Christians must reclaim and say, listen, this is us. This is our story. The death, the birth of Christ is our story. It's a miracle on its own. It's an enfleshment of God. It's God. It's an Emmanuel moment that we want to echo in with others, like the Sabbath and other things that we have. We want to echo that Emmanuel moment. And we want to echo the death of Christ as part of that Emmanuel moment, because it was the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Thank you very much.
Beautiful stuff, beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your time, and we can't wait for tomorrow's wrap-up, the ultimate of the conversations we've been having. God bless you. Until tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much. Blessings to your listeners until we talk tomorrow.
Amen. That's Mfundisi to Pastor Amias Mvunelo. They're taking us through the study, Christmas Unusual, and the call is, take it back, Christian. Take back Christmas, and I think even take it back, not just from the rest of the world, but even from the commercialization, right? And sometimes it's a pity we share in commercializing this important day, whereas it's supposed to be a big figure that we can share this great news to the world. Christ is born.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.